Good morning, church. How are we doing today?
Good morning,
Kyle. Oh, good morning, sweet Kyle. Awesome, awesome. We are going to be in Acts chapter 1, like Todd said today. So if you've got your Bibles, I invite you, go ahead and grab those and turn to that page. We're going to get there in a moment. But today, like we said, is kind of a special Sunday, not just because we're playing a little bit of a Chinese fire drill here, but because it is Graduate Sunday. So today is the day where we get to celebrate some of those students who have for a number of years, some of them for a short time, some of them for a long time, been part of this church family, grown up in this church. Many of you have watched them for a long time, seen how they have grown, seen how they have blossomed into the young men and women that they are today. And so we get to acknowledge and show them our support and encouragement as a church. So it is a special day today. This is kind of a strange season for especially our graduates, right? And for those of you who have gone through, graduation, 1, 2, 3, 20 years ago, so, however long it's been for you, it's this interesting phase of life because you're going from, what you have known all your life kind of into this new chapter, into this unknown season. We've got our plans. We've got, the things that we hope to accomplish, our dreams, whatever. But in reality, we all know that the plans we make, we've heard it said before, we make our plans, then God laughs, ha ha, right? Because things don't always work out the way that we expect them to, but nonetheless, it's an exciting time. It's an exciting season. It's probably a time, I'm going to assume, that our graduates get tired of a lot of the questions that gets asked of them, right? How many times you explain, so what are you doing in the fall? What's your plans for the future? Are you going to school? Are you going to, work, job, whatever? And answering a lot of these same questions over and over and over again. Spoiler alert, we're going to ask the same question in front of you here in a little bit. But you get these big questions about life. What are you doing for school? What are you doing for work? What is your path ahead? Usually people are asking questions about your future plans. But behind that, I think underneath that, really, the plans are just kind of on top. Really underneath that is this is a time of our life where we're trying to figure out something even more important, that really, what's my purpose, right? Why am I on this earth here? What is God trying to do with me in my life? And how do I live that out as we move forward? It's a hard question sometimes. Sometimes it's even more difficult to answer these questions about your future when you're not sure where you're going. I figured this out a long time ago when I was once stuck in a New York City subway station. About 23-ish or so years ago, went to my older brother's graduation from college. Now, he went to college in New York, went to a military academy up there, and most of our family had not been. Most of my family is all, kind of southern Oklahoma people, whatever. And so New York was like, a land far, far away, some foreign place, right? But now it's his time to graduate, and so we're all excited, most of the family. We're flying up to New York, and we're going to get to go watch him graduate. And part of the big plans is while we're there for a few days, it wasn't too far away, maybe like an hour train ride from going into New York City. Now, if you've never been to New York City before, it's a whole nother world, right? It's a really cool place. Even if you're not a city person, it's an amazing place to go. And so we thought, we've got to squeeze this in somehow. And this was probably more daunting. We figured we're going to experience all that New York City has to offer in 6 hours. And so we took a train ride in there, got into Grand Central Station, right, which is just this kind of crazy thing, and we're like hailing cabs. I got to whistle at one. It's pretty awesome. Check that off the bucket list. Got to ride cabs. We went out to eat somewhere, and we're like just flying through trying to see everything. So like, Ground Zero, Times Square. We went to Central Park, got to look across and see, the Statue of Liberty, like all of these crazy things. But I am sure for all of the locals there, like we might as well just had t-shirts on that said like I'm a tourist, right? Because everywhere we're going, we had the look on our face like I'm lost, somebody please help me, right? Because we're just flying. So we were relying this whole time on my older brother to kind of lead us and be our guide everywhere we go and try not to just get completely lost. Well, for the most part, we did fine until we got to the subway. And if you've ever been, I mean, there's a million people, it's crowded, and everybody knows, like there's a system, right? And if you're part of the locals, whatever, you just know how it works, right? And if you're not, you don't know how it works. And so we're like, okay, what are we supposed to do? There's a million people, and they're not as, I was going to say patient. We'll go with that, too. For people who don't know what they're doing. So as we're going into there, my brother's like, no, it's going to be fine, right? So here's what you're going to do. You just need to show them your ID, right? And you're just going to walk right through and go. And we're like, does that really work? Well, it works if you have a military ID, which he does. We don't. Right, so he's like, no, it's fine, just watch me, just do like this. And so he just runs up there and he just goes, boop, walks right through the gates. And so we're like, okay. So we go up, we show him our IDs. That's not a military ID, what are you trying to do? And with a few choice words. And so we're like, I don't know. They're like, you got to go back there, you got to get your tickets, you got to do this. And so we're now just like kind of freaking out because my brother, he's like somewhere on the other side of the subway. We're over here wigging out my grandmother. God bless her heart, this, you know, Southern lady all her life, she just, you know, yells out in the middle of New York City, you know, if I live to be 150, I'm never coming back again. Tensions, high stress, whatever, kind of crazy, because this whole time, you know, we're trying to follow my brother, our fearless leader, and then all of a sudden, like, he gone, and we don't know what we're supposed to do, right? We figured it out. Eventually, we made a few friends, and we got through it, but following somebody can sometimes be hard, particularly when you don't know the way, right? That's true, I think, in a crowded New York City subway, but I think that's also true in life. Sometimes it's hard to follow when you don't know the way. Graduation is a big deal for our seniors, and hear my heart, I'm not trying to take away from you guys' day and you guys' moment, but it's a different season for a lot of us, right? It brings up questions for all of us. What's life going to be like in this new season of life? I have preached a number of graduation sermons where I've tried to encourage parents and say, hey, I know this is a hard time for you. This is the first time I've preached a graduation sermon where I said, this is a hard season for us. I don't know that I do. It brings up a lot of questions, right? It's a hard season. What's life going to look like? How are we going to live now? You know, what's the future look like? And really, I don't know. Nobody can really answer those questions. But there's this looming question, I think, for a lot of us at different stages of life. How do we stay faithful in times of uncertainty? We're in this series now called Follow Me. If you've missed any of them, it's been a great series. I'd encourage you to go back online and kind of catch back up. But we're looking at these words of Jesus. He says this multiple times, but in the Gospel of Matthew, where he calls us, his followers, simply to follow me. Two words. It's a really, really simple instructions, and yet those of us who've had any experience in life know that sometimes simple doesn't always mean easy, right? Right? Because life and faith is hard because this life of following Jesus calls us to something higher. Unfortunately, we in the church sometimes have this tendency to reduce our faith to simply something that we have, only a belief, right? And while it is that, it is not only that. The Bible never describes this life of faith as simply something that we have. Fun fact, in the Gospel of John, every time that the word faith is mentioned, it is always a verb. What does that mean? It means that faith is not just something you have. Faith is something that you do, right? Think of it this way. Parents, this is hypothetical. So parents, we've got our kids, right? And you want them to do something, to clean their room, take out the trash, whatever it is, right? So maybe you text them, you know, while they're, earlier on in the day, and you're like, hey, when I get home from work today, could you make sure that you've already taken out the trash? And they say, yep, great, no problem. So you come home from work, again, hypothetical. You come home from work, and the trash is still overflowing there, right? And so you go to said child, I thought I asked you to take out the trash. And they say, I know, right? Okay, so could you take out the trash then? You go about your business. Later on that evening, you come back and say, hey, I asked you to take out the trash. And they say, I know. You go to bed that night, they're in bed, and here's the trash still overflowing. The next morning you get up before they go out to school. I wanted you to take out the trash, and they say, I know. And you're like, I don't think that you do, right? If you understood, you would know that this belief should produce itself in an action. I think that's a lot like faith, right? It's more than just a knowledge. It's not just something we have. It's something that we do. The call to following Jesus is more than just a belief. It means going where he leads. And not that our actions can somehow earn our salvation, right? Yet a real faith in Christ leads us to live a life differently than we lived before. If I'm reading the Word of God and it tells me to do one thing and my flesh is saying, no, we're going to go do something else, guess who's got two thumbs and is wrong, right? Jesus calls us to live a life of faith, which also means obedience to him. And Jesus calls us to follow, but the problem is, sometimes it's hard to follow when you don't know the way. Thomas gets a bad rap in the Gospels as doubting Thomas. And I understand, because the more I read, the more I find myself feeling a lot like him. Really what I think is he wants certainty. You know, Lord, show me, you know, the nails in your hands, in your side. In John chapter 14, as Jesus is preparing to leave the disciples, Thomas says to him this question. He says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And I feel his question, right? There's this tension, I think, for us as believers that we want to follow Jesus, but sometimes we just don't know where we're going. We wish that life came with like a Jared Parker instruction manual, right? And there are some things, of course, that are black and white, but sometimes it's tough. And so this is the question for us, church, much like Thomas, probably that our grads are feeling, maybe that some of you feel on occasion too. How do we follow when we don't know the way? Acts chapter 1. So if you go ahead and pick up your Bibles with me, we're going to look at verses 1 through 8 today. We'll take it in a couple sections. But I think in this text here, as Jesus is preparing to leave and go back to the Father, I think he gives us some good advice for all who would seek to follow Jesus. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to pick up in verse 1, and we'll go from there. So here is the story. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. It says this. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. But after his suffering, he presented himself to them, and he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them these instructions. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, here in the book of Acts, and especially in these first few verses, we have really a big transition, both in the ministry and life of Jesus, and also in the ministry of the church, if you will. This is a big transitional phase. Acts, actually, is picking up right here where Luke left off. If you weren't aware of that, Luke and Acts are the same author. It's a two-volume work, the same one big story. And if you read the end of the book of Luke, you're going to find right here in Acts, it picks up exactly where he left off. And the Gospel of Luke is this story of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Amazing things. If you haven't done it in a while, just sit down and read through an entire gospel and just allow yourself to be immersed and amazed at the life and person of Jesus. For 3 years, he went around and he was teaching the crowds. In fact, Matthew says it this way. He says, after he got done teaching, they were amazed at his teaching, that nobody had ever taught the way that this person has taught before. He went around healing people. I love the story. He fed 5,000 people with just a couple of fish and a few loaves. He was calming storms. He was ushering in the reign of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And all of this right before the disciples' eyes. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be in their shoes? They like literally had a backstage pass. to the ministry of Jesus. And they're following him every step of the way, quite literally. And to finish it off, now just a few days prior, they watched the crucifixion and now Jesus conquer death by rising from the dead. It must have been amazing to be a disciple following Jesus in that time. And yet, as we turn the page into Acts chapter 1, we see that the story actually isn't over. The story is just beginning. And now God's redeeming work is moving even further. Because Jesus, who is Emmanuel, who is God with us, is now ascending back to the Father, but he's leaving the Holy Spirit, who is God in us, and he continues to do the same redemptive work that he's been doing of seeking and saving the lost. But here's the kicker. For 3 years, they've had Jesus right there in their presence, leading them every single step of the way. And now as he's going back to the Father, can you imagine what must have been in the disciples' mind in this moment? Right? Both, in one sense, in awe of what Jesus has done, but now, how do you follow Jesus when he's going away? They're probably feeling way over their heads. I can only imagine the questions that they must have had. Actually, some of them I don't have to imagine because the text tells us. But the uncertainty in this time, kind of like, you know, taking off the training wheels as a kid for the very first time, you know, and your mom and your dad is teaching you to ride that bike, and all of a sudden they just kind of push you and let you go. Right? There's both this mingled sense of awe and of fear, of excitement, but also uncertainty. And so now the question, the disciples are faced this question, how do we continue to follow when we don't understand everything? And that's going to be their question. So let's pick back up in the text as we move forward. Verse 6, it says this. It says, then they gathered around him and they asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. Now I want to pause here for a minute. Because this strikes me as interesting. The disciples have literally been following Jesus like every day for the last 3 years he's been teaching. When everybody else doesn't get it, he gets to take the disciples aside and say, well, here's what I meant by this, right? And so he's explaining everything to these guys. If anybody would understand what Jesus' ministry was about, you would think it would be them. And now all of a sudden they ask Jesus, hey, you're leaving now. Is this when you put Israel back on the top, right? Like, can you imagine, like, the frustration of Jesus? Like, oh, I've been with you for 3 years, I'm on my way, and you still don't get it. Like, you know, in Jesus' heart, I'm kind of reading into the text, but I got to imagine he's like, all right, Holy Spirit, tag, your turn. You know, I'm heading back, my job's done, you can take over from here, right? Like, they still don't seem to get it. But yet, at the same time, can you also imagine the frustration of the disciples? Because I don't think that this is coming from a place of a lack of faith necessarily, but I think as Jesus is leaving, that's going to bring up a lot of questions. Where do we go from here? What are we supposed to do? And so they're asking questions, wanting clarity, asking for directions. They're looking to their leader, but did you notice Jesus doesn't actually answer their question? In fact, Jesus actually has a history of not answering questions. Did you know that? I think in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, Jesus is warning the disciples about the end times and what's going to happen, and some other things are happening there. It's kind of complex text, but he's giving them all this information. And so they go to Jesus and they say in Mark 13:4, they said, tell us, when are these things going to happen? And what is going to be the sign that they're all about to be fulfilled? And then Jesus responds back to them. He says, hey, times are going to be tough. It's going to be hard. Things are going to get worse. It's going to be really, really difficult. And by the way, you won't know, only the Father. Good luck to you. Boom. And he never answers their question. Actually, if you flip over just one page in your Bible at the end of John chapter 21, there he's going away and he's giving directions to his disciples. And Peter, he's with Jesus and he turns around and he looks at John and he says, okay, for us, I get this, but what about that guy? And Jesus responds, Peter said, Lord, what about him? But Jesus answered, if I want him to stay alive until I return, what is that to you? But you must follow me. What about that guy? What about mind your own business? Jesus has a history of not answering questions. But can I make an observation that I think might be helpful for us? It's not that Jesus doesn't answer questions. Actually, he does quite a bit. Rather, it seems that Jesus hesitates to answer when we ask questions about how exactly is the future going to play out? What am I supposed to do here? How are things going to happen? And you can't fault the disciples for this question. My guess is that it's coming from a place of obedience. We want instructions. Just tell me what I'm supposed to do, and I will do it. Have you ever been in that place before? Right? God, can you just tell me what school I'm supposed to go to? Can you tell me what job I'm supposed to take, what career I'm supposed to go into? Should I get married to this person? Should I not? Should I move my family across the country? What is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? These are big questions, and there's times when I've prayed, Lord, would you just please show me what I'm supposed to do, right? Give me a verse, right? You know, let me find my name, Jared, here's your instructions, then move on about, right? Give me a road sign, like blind me on the way to Damascus, something, whatever, just tell me what to do and I will do it. And I have to believe that I'm not the only person in this room who's ever prayed that prayer. Amen. And yet I also have to believe that I'm probably not the only person in this room who's ever been frustrated when I didn't get the answer that I want. Why is that? Why is it that at times Jesus seems reluctant to answer the questions, to give directions to his followers? And can I tell you this, church, and this is a big thing. I believe it's because what God wants from us most is that we follow in faith. That we follow in faith. Faith is obviously a huge theme throughout Scripture. I love this verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You've probably heard the verse before. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. See, church, what God wants from us is not the assurance of our ability to carry out our plans, right? Rather, what God wants from us is that we would trust the one who will carry out his plans in us. Don't forget, it is Jesus himself who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one that will carry us through. Yesterday morning, in the midst of all this graduation stuff and everything going on, I was kind of having a bit of a morning, one of those days, you know, and so I kind of took a pause for a moment, just press pause button, and I just went to that familiar passage many of you maybe even have memorized, Psalm 23, just looking for just peace in the midst of the storm, right? And so I opened it up and was reading through here, and it just hit me. Not that I haven't seen this before, but it just hit me in the moment. I think it's exactly what I needed. As I'm reading through Psalm 23, the first few verses go like this. The Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. And he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Did you notice that sometimes the right paths go by green pastures and still waters? Sometimes the right paths go through valleys and darkness. But yet all the while, he is with us. And so regardless of our path, we can say, it is well with my soul. Why, church? Because our faith is not in a path, it's in the one who guides us. Our faith is not in a plan, it's in a person. That person is Jesus Christ. Amen. So graduates, and for those who are soon to be graduates, it's okay if you don't have the whole path figured out yet. Chances are you'll change your major 7 times in your first semester and your path's going to go in different directions. It is okay. Trust in Jesus. He is the one who will lead you and guide you. For those of you who may be not graduating, but maybe you're in your 30s and 40s, maybe you're watching your children leave and go off, and you're wondering what's this next season going to be like. Maybe you're in that midlife crisis section, and you're saying, I'm not sure if this is really my purpose in life. Whatever it is, can I just remind you that it's okay if you don't see the end of the story yet? Have faith and trust in God. If you're in your 70s, it's okay if you don't know what the rest of your life is going to look like. God came to Abraham, he was older than you, and said, hey, you're going to have a baby, right? And he saw him through to the end. Hopefully that's not God's promise to you, but he saw him through to the end, and he had faith and trusted in God. So trust, church, in God. It is he who began a good work in you, and it is he who will finish it. So follow in faith. But also, I think there's something else that we see in the text. Let's back up again to verse 7 and carry on. So he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And so right here, I think in the text, first, when we don't know the way, I think the first instruction for us is to follow in faith, but I think the second one is for us to follow in power. Now, this may be a little bit of a shorter section. We're going to move through more quickly, but it's still important. Now, sometimes you may not feel like you have what it takes to move forward, right? At some point, many of us have gone through the dark night of the soul. We're not sure if we are able to carry out what God calls us to. It's a high calling. This may come as a surprise to you, but I've never thought of myself as a particularly powerful person, right? But Scripture reminds us of this, that God gives you everything you need for the journey ahead. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says this, and this is one of those hang your hats on this verses. Here's what he says. It says, his divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and his goodness. God has given us all we need for the journey, church. And how does he do that? He does that through the Holy Spirit in you. In fact, in the very next chapter in Acts, this is where we're going to see things really take off. God has promised this, and now the Holy Spirit comes on the church, and they begin moving forward in power because of the Holy Spirit. God gives us everything we need. In fact, if you read earlier in Luke chapter 12, verses 11 to 12, it says this. He's talking to his disciples, and he says, hey, no matter what's going to happen in the future, don't worry about it. But here's what he says. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, don't worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. God gives you everything that you need. Don't worry about it. Now, I want to pause here and remind us in this verse, first, of what this isn't, but then secondly, what it is. What it isn't is it's not an excuse. The fact that we don't have to worry because the Holy Spirit's going to step in, this is not an excuse to be lazy. This is not an excuse to not do our part. Rather, we are called to a high calling. In Hebrews chapter 5, it reminds the church, it warns the church not to be stuck in the elementary things, but we should be continuing to grow into maturity. Psalm 19, David writes, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared in season and out of season to give an answer for the hope that you have in Jesus. Romans chapter 12 says, don't conform to this world anymore, but be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. Jesus himself, when he's quoting the greatest commandment, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength. But he also adds in there, with all of your mind. This is not an excuse to be lazy on our part. Because if it isn't inside of you, it can't come outside of you. God gave us his word, and if we can give our best to our school studies, then we can give our best to our Savior. If we can give our best to our boss, then we can give our best to our Lord. This isn't an excuse for us to not do our part, but here's what it is. It is a reminder to remember the source from which that power comes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, I love this verse. Paul's writing to them and he encourages them. He says this, He says, "We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles that we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure," hear this, "far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life itself. Indeed, we had felt we had received the sentence of death." But here's what he says, "But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." Remember, church, God has given you everything that we need, but don't forget that it is God who is the source of our power. And so when we follow Jesus, we follow in faith, we also follow in power, but lastly, we follow in purpose. Let's read these last two verses. Verse 7 and 8 says, "He says to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" Be my witnesses. Church, we are called to follow him in purpose. We have a mission, and that mission is to point to Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul writes it this way. He says that we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. And I need to remind us, because sometimes I've heard a lot of things being in ministry for about 20 years now. I've heard a lot of things that are just totally off base. So I think it's important to remind us as the church that this is not just like for the professionals, right? This isn't just for Pastor JD to, you know, you go out and get him and you do your thing, you know, you go be the one. No, this is for everybody. Can you allow me to try and convince you if you're not already bought into that? In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, Paul writes this. He says, "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If serving, then serve. If teaching, then teach. If to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Here's my point, church. Every one of us has a unique place in the body of Christ. There are some things that I am pretty good at that you are not. There are a lot of things that you are pretty good at that I am not. God has called us all to a unique place in the body of Christ. And there are things that each of us can do that others cannot do, but it takes every single one of us to be on mission, not just a few people who this is their vocation or they have a name tag. This is for everybody. Moving on, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. It says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Did you catch that there? See, the leadership roles is not to do the ministry of the church so that you don't have to. The role of the leadership in ministry is to equip the whole body of Christ to do what they have been uniquely called to do by God. Look, guys, you can go places that I cannot go. Our students can go places that I cannot go. I'm not allowed to just walk into school and say, "I'm here to bring Jesus to the kids." They won't let me in. But you know who they'll let in? Our youth group. Because they're there every day. In fact, this is pretty awesome. I shared this with them a handful of weeks ago, just reminding them of how God has equipped them and called them. When I first came here to New Heights Church about 4 years ago, there were 9 students in the youth group. This past Wednesday, our last Wednesday of the semester, we had 25 students in youth group. And here's the thing, and this may rub some of you all the wrong way, but it's true. And I did not invite a single one of them. Every one of those students who has come because they have reached out with the gospel. They've found friends who aren't connected. They've gone and taken the truth of Jesus to places that I cannot go. Listen, church, this is not just for a few select people. This is for everybody. You have a unique place and purpose and role in the body of Christ. And so, this mission is for everybody. But lastly is this, Also, this is how God designed it to be. In Acts chapter 1, verse 1, it says, remember all that Jesus began to do. Jesus did his ministry. We see that in the book of Luke. He continues that ministry on, but now through the church. But it's not just the paid professionals. It's not just the apostles. This is the church doing this all through. In fact, in Acts chapter 8, we see persecution begin to break out. And now all of a sudden the church is scattered. And it says something really interesting. It says, everybody except for the apostles was scattered. That means the apostles stayed and know what happened. It says they preached the gospel wherever they went. This is our calling, church. This is our role, that wherever we go, whatever we're doing, whether you're in ministry or in the military, whether you're a teacher or a business or a farmer or whatever we're doing, we take the message of Christ with you. You are a witness to Jesus. Quite a few years ago, lived in Colorado and had a job for a company that we often did some traveling. We'd go around to some different companies and do some service things for them. And at one point, had a trip that took us out to Portland, Oregon. I don't know if you've ever been to the Northwest before, but it's another exciting place on the other side of the country. But so we went out there, and I was kind of excited about it, you know, not for the work itself, but to go to a new place and see some new things and somewhere I've never been before. And so as we go out to Portland, we had a job, you know, we had our hotel that we got to settled in, and then for the next couple of days, we had an address and how to get where we were supposed to go and our directions for what job we're supposed to do. This was back when we had to, like, print out directions to places on papyrus, you know, before we had it on our phones. And so, anyway, we get up on the first morning, and we're ready to go out to this job, right? And we out there, and I don't know if you've heard the rumors about, you know, the fog and all that kind of stuff in the Northwest. Oh, my goodness, it is real. So we get in the car, and we're going out to our job site, right? We've got our orders from our company, we've got our directions, we've got where we're supposed to go. But here's the thing, we get on the road, and I have never seen fog like this in my life before. Like, I kid you not, I could not see, you know, from here to the end of this room past that. It was so dense with fog, I couldn't see taillights about 50 feet in front of me. No street signs, no nothing, and I've never been here before, right? And so we're trying to get to a place that I've never been before, and I've got some directions. We've got our marching orders. But the first thing that hit me was, like, this sense of, like, awe and amazement. Like, I am just, like, literally, I'm just, like, in this cloud. This is incredible. This is amazing. But then all of a sudden, the fear started to kind of creep up a little bit, right? And I started having all these questions, like, you know, what happens if I'm driving a little bit too fast? Am I going to just run into a car, you know, that I can't see him? But then if I drive too slow, is another car going to come in and run into the back of me? Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I can't even see the stop signs. I can't see the street signs. I don't know where I'm at. I have no idea where I'm. What if I'm stuck in Portland for the rest of my life? We made it out, just in case you're wondering. Because I'm here now. I'm not stuck there. But it was amazing, and yet all of a sudden, all these questions started creeping in, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know where I'm going. I couldn't see the path ahead of me. So what do I do? Well, I just fell back on what I had. I had a mission. We had a purpose. We were there for a reason. I had my marching orders. I know what I was supposed to do. We had directions. We knew how to get there, and so I just had to trust that we had everything that we need to get to where we were going. And so I just simply had to keep going in faith. Will you keep going in faith? Even if you don't know the answers, even if you don't know the future, even if you can't see through the fog, it's okay. We have a mission. We have a purpose. A purpose more important than what company we work at and what job we're going to be in, how we're going to make our money. No, we have a calling, church, to be His witnesses, to take the gospel wherever you go. So whatever profession you go into, wherever you find yourself in life, if you're going into law enforcement, then show others the perfect justice of God. If you're going into counseling, and show others the kindness and the patience of God. If you're going to be a teacher, Show others the amazing world that God has created. If you're going to be a doctor, show others the healing heart of God. Maybe you want to be just a mom. You have the greatest profession in the world. I'm so grateful for a godly wife who has pointed our kids towards Christ. So show your kids the love and compassion of God and point your kids towards Jesus. Church, wherever you go, take the gospel with you. God has given you a purpose. God has supplied you with everything that you need. So the only question is, will you walk in faith? Let's pray. Lord God, you are good. God, and I thank you that wherever our path goes, whether it's beside still waters or it's in valleys of darkness, God, we know that you are with us. God, we know that you have given us everything that we need. So, Father, help us to walk in faith. Now, Father, you know our weakness. You know that it is not always easy for us. God, we look for certainty. We want to walk by sight, but you call us to walk by faith. And so help us, Father. Remind us always of your presence. Remind us always that the Holy Spirit is with us, inside of us, God. And all we have to do is simply to trust in you, to put our faith in you. And so, God, would you help us do that now? God, whether we've never followed you before and we need to take that first step, help us to walk in faith. God, if we've been following you for decades, help us to continue in faith, Father. For our flesh is weak. We get distracted. Sometimes we can't see through the fog. And yet, God, we know that you are with us, and so we thank you. God, most importantly, though, help us, remind us always of our mission, of our purpose, that we are not here just to make money, to entertain ourselves and move along, but Father, you have given us a mission, you have given us a greater calling. And so, Lord, wherever we go, I ask that you help us, you remind us to be your ambassadors, that we point other people to Jesus. Father, I pray for our grads right now. They're stepping into an unknown future. God, I pray that you would lead them, that you would guide them. But for all of us, Lord, help us to walk in faith. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.